We're not alone in the studio.
This is true.
We have Robin Campbell. Good morning, Robin.
Good morning. Pleasure to be here.
It's good to have you. And Janice DeBon. Hello, Janice.
Thanks for having us.
They're from the Kinnikinick Plant Society, and a deadline for a grant is coming up, and we know what a wonderful grant can do because we had the Busy Buzzy Bombus Bee. How's that, Jack?
Mm-hmm.
With Hannah and Patty, and they did this coloring book that was the result of a grant. We're going to talk about the grant deadline, the grant, and what kind of projects we're looking for, but we've got to do the weather.
That's true. I have it before me. This from the National Weather Service. Today, it seems like we've broken out of this cold snap that hit us over the weekend and the end of last week. Mostly sunny with a high near 37 degrees today. Mostly cloudy tonight with a low of 26. Tomorrow, a slight chance of snow and then a slight chance of rain or snow as the temperature increases. The high is 41 degrees tomorrow. 34 is the low on Friday night, chance of rain and snow. But tomorrow during the day, just a 20% chance of precipitation, increasing to 50% overnight tomorrow night. On Saturday, a 50% chance of rain or snow and a high of 40 degrees. A chance of rain increasing on Saturday night to 60%. And then Sunday looks like it's going to be a rainy day with a high of 39 and an 80% chance of rain. And then cooling off, I guess, a little bit, and snow coming back possibly on Monday with a slight chance of rain or snow with the high only 37 degrees, which is, I guess, what it is today. So a little bit warmer this weekend. The precipitation will probably be rain, and it will probably mostly come on Sunday is what it looks like to me.
Well, I'm not happy with that forecast.
No, that doesn't
The reason why I'm not happy is that this is January and February, and mm-hmm. by golly, we should have snow. I swear that I have, you know, when I go out to fill the feeders or something, I could smell a little bit of spring in the air.
Uh-huh.
Any plants coming up?
Not at my house. They're all under snow at this point.
So no little sprigs of green. Yeah, I expect to see my hyacinths coming up at any time, but I know that's a little bit. Before we get too far, my sister in her Alexa,
mm-hmm.
it says KRFY is currently not available. She's not hearing us.
What?
What? My sister, who lives in Arlington, Virginia, right across the Potomac from Washington, D.C., because of the magic of Alexa, she says, Alexa, KRFY, and Boomo. We're everywhere. And so I like to do the weather, but she says, Alexa is not cooperating, but I can do the weather anyway. She sends it to me via text. Weather for the D.C. area, 35 now, high of 43 expected, cloudy and overcast all day, no sunshine.
Well, I don't know. I like here better, actually. We got sun today.
We've got mountains, and yeah. We don't have government. Hello? Yeah. there's a lot to be...
what about the world's most famous weatherman?
Ooh,
yes.
Happy Groundhog Day. Janice, you said you found out you know what the result is. Did he see his shadow or did he not?
He definitely headed back down that hole.
Ah, and which means what?
Lots more winter.
Six more weeks.
That sounds about right.
Yeah, you know, I looked it up, and I looked up on Wikipedia. And while the tradition remains popular, that studies have found no consistent association between a groundhog seeing its shadow and the subsequent arrival of spring-like weather.
Well, come on. Who do you trust? Punxsutawney Phil or these scientists?
Is this another fake thing?
Yeah.
We live in the age of fakeness. And I just think it's neat. You know, people celebrating a certain time of year that would go by unnoticed.
You have the full, informational article there. Is it just any groundhog, or is there really just the one groundhog in Pennsylvania who we all respect and acknowledge?
Well, my understanding is that originally, way back when, mm-hmm. it was a badger. You know, okay. But I don't know. Pennsylvania Dutch were immigrants from German-speaking areas uh-huh. of Europe. They had a tradition marking Candlemas, which is February 2nd, as yes. Badger Day, on which if a badger emerging from its den encountered a sunny day, thereby casting a shadow, it meant more weeks of winter. But then with the immigration into Pennsylvania, do we have groundhogs out here?
Not to my knowledge. Oh, I guess you guys would know much better than us.
Well, we definitely have ground squirrels. And mm-hmm. I think what we call a groundhog is a ground squirrel. But there are a number of species of those little critters. So I don't know if the one in Pennsylvania is the same as the one we have here. Mm-hmm. I know because the ground squirrels make havoc in my garden sometimes, eating the roots of the plants.
No way.
Yes. I've gone out.
In the winter months?
Well, no, not in the winter because the plants aren't growing.
Yeah. So they sneak in. You can't see them.
No, they live in little tunnels under the ground. You do see them. They come out, and I've seen them running across my driveway from the rocky, from one rocky ridge sort of to another, because they kind of live in the rocks and in tunnels under the ground and stuff. But I have seen them. I've seen gone out and seen my tomato plants all wilted, and you go and lift up the plant, and there are no roots. Groundhogs just
so this roots. Is a year-round thing, huh?
Well, they're hibernating right now, which is why when you say they come out to see their, you know, if they can see their shadow. So, yeah, they live here year-round, but they hibernate in the winter, and then in the spring they come out.
Okay. And do I dare ask if you do anything about them? I mean...
I say a lot of bad words.
But something... I'm sorry, you can't say that on the air here in this radio station.
No, mm-hmm. I won't tell you what I call them, but...
You can think the words, okay, like a little thought bubble. I guess this tradition just... it's an occasion for people to get together and feel good. Yeah. And, what else are you going to do on February 2nd?
Yeah, not much. Not light much. A candle, I guess, right? Yeah. That's when you're... Okay, that's the deal.
I mean, we're here. What else?
Yeah. Right.
Yeah. That says it all. That says it all. Should we get together and talk about why you guys are here with us? They're representing the Kinnikinick Plant Society. And the reason why we invited them to come on the air is that... How long ago Hannah and Patty were here, Jack? About a month ago or so, thereabouts?
Yeah, about that, yeah.
And they released a coloring book called Busy Buzzy Bombus Bee, Can You Color What I See? And we had a great conversation with them, a neat coloring book, everyone. By the way, if you don't have your copy, I understand they're going fast, that it was the result of a grant from the Kinnikinick Plant Society. And Janice and Robin are here to talk about the grant because it's having a deadline coming up. And then we're going to talk about the Plant Society. So Janice, Robin, the mic is yours.
Okay. Well, the important thing to get out to everybody is that our grant deadline is the end of this month, February 28th. The purpose of our grant is to give native plants recognition and to promote them in any way that you can think of. The obvious things are perhaps native plant gardens, but we talked about the coloring book. There are other great ideas too. So the grant deadline, the 28th of February, the grant form itself is available on our website. And it should be mailed to KNPS, P.O. Box 1092 in Sandpoint. Our website, and let me read it to you because I want you to get it right, www.nativeplantsociety.org. Okay. Looking forward to as many as we can handle.
Okay, we're gonna repeat that contact information since this is radio. What kind of grants do you award? What are some of the, you know, people are sitting out there saying, oh, native plants, what do I do? What the history, a little bit of history behind the grant, and what are some of the projects in the past? We know the coloring book.
The grant was set up to honor and recognize our founder, our organization's founder, Lois Wythe. She was an amazing woman, and you had to just get excited when she started talking about native plants and what you could do with them and how important they were. She set up an arrangement with the city of Sandpoint to have a native plant arboretum in Lakeview Park. And she had to promise she would have gardeners there on a regular basis, that the city of Sandpoint would not have to take over any of the gardening efforts. And I tell you, she could sell a project, a story. She was outstanding. We've had applicants for the Native Plant Grant starting back in 2009. That was our first one. At that time, we were a little hesitant, perhaps, to go too big. So we said, let's sponsor one person to take the Master Gardener class to learn what they can learn, and then give us a certain number of hours of work in our arboretum. That worked well. And then from then on, we opened it up to more projects. Do you want to have another garden? Do you want to do a seed collection project? Do you want to do artwork? I mean, the choices are extraordinary out there.
We've also given the grant to some school projects. So there have been school kids who have participated in defining a project that they want to do using native plants, and we've given the grant to them. And the grant, I will say, is $500.
Good. I was going to ask that.
Yeah, it's $500, and you're required then to, at the end of the year, so next year, or at the end of this year, mm-hmm. provide a summary of your what you did and what your results were. And you are invited, if you would like to present that to the to our general public at one of our public meetings.
Your membership meetings.
Yeah, one of our membership meetings.
So one more time, the due date is February the 28th, which is a Tuesday. We got a big new calendar in here.
Yeah.
That's a Tuesday. You can mail your applications to KNPS. That's better than spelling out Kinnikinick, isn't it?
It is.
Much better.
Much. Yeah.
KNPS, Post Office Box 1092. Sandpoint 83864. And if you're looking for the form, you can go to www.nativeplantsociety.org.
Nice job collecting that URL, by the way, that web address. And definitely not having people spell out Kinnikinick. In their computer.
Yes, no, we're very proud of that URL. There are many other plant societies that would love to have it.
I bet.
We got it.
Good job.
It's true.
And I will just say that when you come to our homepage, scroll down just a little bit beyond what's right there on your screen, and you'll see a little blurb about the Lois Wythe Grant, and there'll be a place that you can click to go directly to the application, which you can then print out and then mail to our post office box.
And I can just run through a list of other winners that we've had, so you can see that it's a variety of places that get our grant.
That would be good to give listeners an idea. You know, I can readily grasp in the classroom. There's all sorts of options. But if one is listening, what are some of the grants in the past and who have received them?
So Panhandle Animal Shelter received a grant for landscaping efforts. Kootenai Elementary School received a grant for more landscaping. Lake Pendere High School received a grant. The city of Dover received a grant. Southside Elementary School, Forest Bird Charter School, Clark Fork High School, East Bonner County Library, Washington Elementary, Harpo Faust, an individual for scientific illustrations of notable plant species, and then our coloring book, our last winner.
And we've had them on the air. It says here that it's designed to promote awareness and appreciation of our native plants. So I'm going to ask the obvious question. What's a native plant as opposed to a non-native plant? Are my hyacinths non-native?
Yes.
Oh. Okay.
Sorry, Jim.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that doesn't bother the moose, that's for sure. They'll eat anything. Mm-hmm. So can you briefly talk about native plants? I mean, we'll talk more about the society later on in the program, but just to give people an idea, what's a native versus non-native?
A native plant is any plant that was growing here before the influx of European settlers. And we are in a very unique situation. Sandpoint sits squarely in the middle of the largest inland temperate rainforest in the world.
Oh, repeat that one more time. That is just neat.
Sandpoint sits squarely in the middle of the largest inland temperate rainforest in the world.
Cool.
And that was created because millions of years ago, the Pacific Ocean actually came up to the borders of Sandpoint.
Hmm.
Oregon and Washington were underground. So we developed at that time a coastal ecosystem. Well, then mountains rose, the Cascade Mountain Range rose, and other mountain ranges, and the Rocky Mountains rose, and it pushed the Rocky Mountain ecosystem into this rainforest, coastal rainforest system. And we have a huge diversity of plants because of that. When I first moved here 20 years ago, I was amazed. I moved here from the Pacific Northwest.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And I was amazed just walking up my road at the number of different kinds of trees I saw growing right next to each other. In Oregon, you go into a forest and there are three or four major conifers, unless you get into little micro habitats. Douglas firs and grand firs do not grow right next door to ponderosa pines.
Mm-hmm.
Here they do.
Mm.
I can walk up my road and see pines and firs and cedars, which are normally a wet environment,
right
next to each other. And I always wondered why. And then I learned about this inland temperate rainforest. And it's really, we have a really exciting diversity of plants in this area, which the Plant Society, the Native Plant Society, feels that it's important to make people aware of and to protect.
So you're not trees. Are you trees? When you say native plant, I think little things close to the ground.
Plant means anything that's not an animal.
Ah, okay.
Mm-hmm. So the flora and fauna, the kingdoms are divided into the plant kingdom and the animal kingdom. And so a plant is anything from a tree down to some of the fungus and
lichen
and all those kinds of things.
So my huckleberries that I pick in the summer, they're native, huh?
Yes, they are.
Phew.
Yeah.
That must be a relief.
Yeah, that is. Yeah, I mean, heck with my hyacinths. They've done their magic by then. And so what do you hope to do with the grants themselves? Promote? Are you surprised by the lack of awareness, like people like me, about native plants? Or What's the purpose of the grants in terms of, I briefly mentioned awareness of native plants, but when you went down the list, Janice, what's the big picture of these grants and how does it fit in with the mission of the Plant Society?
I think the big picture is just to get the word out that these plants, because there are natives, are ideal for any landscaping here. That you don't have to bring in Jim's hyacinths or, you know, somebody else's daffodils. We've got what it takes here. And we look at the grant applications and we say, so you're going to plant these, you're going to have this nice garden. And then we say, and how will you take care of it next year? Will you have somebody that takes over this project, or is it a one-time thing? We kind of evaluate things for the long term. But I think it's just education.
Okay.
And
okay.
The effort to create something that really is beautiful.
We have a number of events and programs that all kind of fall under community outreach. Mm-hmm. And the purpose of all of those, including the grant, is to just expand the awareness of the uniqueness of our area and the importance of native plants in the whole ecosystem. You know, native plants evolved in this ecosystem and they support insect populations and little animal populations and bird populations. And it's all
and the mole that lives in
yes the ground squirrels
that have Robin Campbell's place held hostage.
And it's just all part of the natural cycle. And whenever we can work in conjunction with, in cooperation with natural cycles, we have a lot fewer problems. I mean, we do have some native species that are related to the hyacinths that you plant in your yard. Now, they look different.
Do they smell as heavenly?
Not quite, because the ones you have been hybridized and
injected with smell.
Yeah, right. Somebody comes along and sprays them a little Chanel.
Really? Is that how it... I've always wanted to know.
Oh, gosh.
No, so the horticultural plants that we have all started as natives, and for one reason or another, somebody decided, well, oh, look, we've got a mutation. This one is pink instead of purple, or this one has bigger flowers, or this one smells better, and they start hybridizing, and plants hybridize naturally as well, but Mother Nature doesn't choose for things like smell and bigger flower and color. They choose for things that will help it evolutionarily.
Okay.
So, okay. Yeah. So they're all related.
Well, we are here talking with Robin Campbell and Janice DeBon about the Lois Wythe Grant. The deadline is coming up on February 28th, the last day of February. And again, you can get the application form at www.nativeplantsociety.org. And once you get the form and fill it out, you can mail it to KNPS, Post Office Box 1092, Sandpoint, Idaho, 83864. I've got lots of questions. You do too, Jack, I imagine, about the Plant Society as a whole. But let's play a song first.
I think that's a fine idea,
Jack. You know, this is an important date in music history because the Beatles, they said that they wouldn't come to America until they had a number one song. Mm-hmm. And, of course, next week, Jack, we're going to play because that's the date that they appeared on Ed Sullivan in 1964. That's before your time, Jack.
A little bit.
Yeah, a little bit, like about 30 years. But that's okay. We don't hold that against you. I remember. Did you, Janice, and watch the Beatles on Ed Sullivan?
Of course. I mean, that was really exciting. I was in college then, so hey.
It was all there. Earth stopping. Yeah. Anyway, here is the song that is going to kick off the number one run by the Beatles. They replaced, they are only the second number one British group. The first one was way back when with a group called the Tornadoes with Telstar. That was a British group, and way back when. And then along came the Beatles, and then after that,
right,
practically any British person who sang had a number one song. But here's the song that put them on our radar.
The Beatles, John, Paul, George, Ringo, with I Want to Hold Your Hand, right here on 88.5 KRFY. You're listening to The Morning Show on Thursday, February 2nd, Groundhog Day, with Jack and Jim. Our guests this morning, Janice DeBon and Robin Campbell from the Kinnickinnick Native Plant Society.
That just rolled off your tongue.
I have practiced that.
Okay.
Yeah. Last night I was up. Till midnight.
Oh, please go to bed, Jack. I'm tired of hearing that. Yeah.
Just a word about that word, Kinnickinnick. Uh-huh. It is an Indian word, but it also is the name of a little native plant that grows here. It's a little ground cover called Kinnickinnick uversi. It's a it's a little you'll see it if you're out hiking. You'll see it all over. It's a glossy green leaves with a bell-shaped white, small bell-shaped white flower, and it produces a red berry in the fall. And it's very common in this area. And it is, if you go to our website, you'll see up in the left-hand corner of our homepage a drawing of a picture of Kinnickinnick.
I see it right here.
Cool. Is that berry edible? Mm-hmm.
Animals eat it, but people don't eat it.
We're animals.
Yeah. I mean, I don't think it would hurt you. It probably just doesn't taste very good.
Okay. Then, Mother Nature hasn't gone along and sprayed it, like, not with the aroma, but with edibility.
Yeah.
Ooh, I just created that word.
Yeah.
Edibility.
The Kinnickinnick Native Plant Society. We've been talking a little bit about. Well, of course, we've been talking about the Lois Wythe Grant. The application for that closes at the end of this month, which just started, which is up to $500 for. There's a whole variety of different projects that have applied for it and been granted that grant. Lois Wythe, the founder of Kinnickinnick Native Plant Society, we talked about her a little bit. When was that? I don't think you mentioned the year or the time.
Lois put out a call for people interested in native plants in, I think it was 1997.
Okay.
And she was surprised at the number of people that showed up, and out of that grew the Native Plant Society, and her first major project was the Arboretum. Mm-hmm. And she worked with the city to secure the land area that we use in Lakeview Park. The city very generously supplies us with water and trash pickup and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. But all volunteers created and maintain that area, and it's open to the public 24/7. You can walk through. Many people who live in the area walk their dogs or whatever. It's a very contemplative place to go in the summer when it's hot. There are lots of nice big trees as well as little plants growing along the ground and shrubs. Many of them are labeled. And that brings me to an important point. Everything done in the Arboretum is done by volunteer labor, and all of our, all the money that we raise comes from fundraisings, and we have a fundraising coming up on February 16th.
That is I'm looking at our big calendar, a Thursday.
Thursday.
Two weeks from today.
Right. Mm-hmm. Thursday the 16th. If you go to IPA, Idaho Poor Authority on Cedar Street, and purchase a beverage of any kind, part of the purchase will go to our plant society. We also will have some raffle baskets there, full of great things. They're themed baskets. I know there's a beer themed basket, and there's always a garden themed basket, which does contain a copy of our book, Landscaping with Native Plants in North Idaho. And you can purchase tickets for the raffle, and the raffle drawing will be done that night. You can actually purchase tickets anytime that week from the 13th to the 16th, and you don't have to be present to win the basket. But if you raise a glass on the day, you'll help us. And what the money from this fundraiser is going to is new and improved and replacement signage for the little plants that you see in the arboretum.
Okay.
A lot of our original signs are becoming very decrepit, and a number of plants haven't been named yet. So we're trying to make it as user-friendly as we can, so you know what you're looking at.
Okay. What kind of plants are in the arboretum? What kind of names would we recognize for those who haven't been there in person?
Oh, well, when you're looking at the trees, there's going to be Douglas firs, and there's western red cedars and larch and maples, our native maple, and aspen, quaking aspen. And then you go down to shrubs, and you'll see there's a lovely American cranberry bush, and there's the tall Oregon grape, and there's you're putting me on the spot here.
Sorry.
And then you get lower, there are ground covers. There are lots of flowering plants. One of my favorites and one that I have in my garden is mountain hollyhock, which blooms a little later in the season. And we have camas. And Janice, what are some of the ones you think of?
I mean, that place is just filled with things, but we have lupin, we have Indian paintbrush, we have
prairie smoke.
Yes, prairie smoke.
We do have an orchid, a native orchid that comes up from
Europe. How about bear grass or lupin? Are those native or not?
There is a native lupin, and bear grass is native.
We're kind of low for that, aren't we?
We're a little low for that, and I'm trying to think if there is actually one in the arboretum. There's just so much in the arboretum.
Yeah, a huckleberry. A lot of varieties of huckleberries are there. I mean, it's an educational thing.
I know
where I'll go picking.
I know. Yeah, that's a lot easier.
I don't need to leave town.
Yeah,
you may have to stand in line. I don't know.
Is the syringa lilac a native?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
So I have something in my yard.
I have lilacs in the yard, which is like my favorite.
Well, the syringa lilac is different than the double French white.
I think what you're referring to is a spirea, actually. It's spirea.
Yes.
And it has a lovely lavender plume that's much thinner than regular lilacs. And in fact, I don't think it's related to regular lilacs.
Really?
Okay. I think they're in different genuses, but I'm not positive about that. But it tends to grow in kind of marshy areas. And yes, I have some of that in my yard too.
And they smell?
They do.
Heavenly. I mean, they come in later. I find about a couple weeks later than regular lilacs. Their clusters are a lot more loose. They're not, the flower is not as tight. But boy, you stick your face in a bush when they're blooming, and it's heaven.
Yeah. Fireweed is another native that puts on a nice display. Goldenrod. There's just lots of them.
Yeah. Is a dandelion a native?
No.
To the whole United States, I think.
It's what we call naturalized.
It's a weed.
Yeah.
It's a weed.
Huh. A dandelion is not native. How did it come over? Is it an invasive species to the United States as a whole? Did it come over from Europe? Do we know that, I guess?
I don't know that for sure. Yeah. I mean, dandelions are in the composite family, which is a huge family, and we have very many native composites. But that particular one, I don't think.
Yeah.
It's not native to our area.
Yeah. I mean, I can't imagine anybody intentionally bringing dandelions over, but I guess
some bird probably did, or a bee or something like
there
that.
There are lots of ways that plants get transplanted.
Yeah.
And dandelions, you know, some they were used for greens.
Yeah.
So they were a food plant, a common food plant. So it's possible that they got brought.
Possible. Well, I'd like to talk to whoever that was.
Who knew?
Again, we're talking about the Kinnikinick Native Plant Society, and you guys are located, your kind of headquarters, the garden shed is over in Lakeview Park, and that's where the Arboretum is as well.
Right. Our shed is in the park, in the Arboretum, off of the Ella Street entrance. If you drive down Ella Street, there are three different entrances to the Arboretum. And one of them is the parking lot that is shared with the Historic Society, the Historic Museum there.
The Kinnikinick Native Plant, the Arboretum, by the way. Okay, so a lot of those plants, of course, were planted by volunteers such as yourselves. But the trees, I'm guessing, were already there. Is that right? Yeah. Mm-hmm. So you just kind of...
Right. So we worked around the trees.
Took what was there and...
The great big trees that you see there were definitely there.
Sure.
Some of the smaller trees we have planted.
Yeah. Cool. The mission of the Kinnikinick Native Plant Society. Let's talk about that a little bit. Now that it's been going strong for like about 25 years now.
Right. Well, it is basically to promote awareness and appreciation and the importance of native plants. And we get involved in the Arboretum is our big project, but we also get involved with lots of outreach to the community. We have a monthly meeting in the months from September to June. It is open to the public, and if you go to the website, you can actually put in your email address and you can get notifications of these meetings. The one coming up is on February 18th. It is the third Saturday of the month. So February 18th from 9:30 to 11:30, we have Dr. James Peake, who's a retired professor from the University of Idaho, and he'll be speaking on, and this is a long title, A Wildlife Biologist's Adventures in the Frank Church River of No Return Wilderness.
Ooh.
And that should be a really interesting program. The program is open to the public. It's at the library in their large conference room there. It is also, we've also, since the pandemic, been putting our programs on Zoom. So can sign up to see it on Zoom, and we also archive them on our website and we have a YouTube channel.
So one more time, can you repeat that date?
Yes, the next program is February 18th,
a Saturday,
the third Saturday of February, from 9:30 to 11:30 at the library. And it is James Peake speaking about his adventures in the Frank Church Wilderness area.
The River of No Return.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Marilyn Monroe and Robert Mitchum.
Wow.
Great movie.
I haven't seen that one.
Yeah.
Okay.
How does one become a member of the Plant Society?
It's easy.
Easy.
Very easy. Janice,
we have just signed up all listeners.
All right. No, you know, you can look at our website. You can come to a meeting. People would be more than happy to talk with you, collect your dues payment as such. But I have to say that our last meeting in January was just a huge crowd. We had to expand the seating area. So I think the word is getting out. We had children probably from the age of 6 or 7 all the way up to those of us with gray hair. It was just a great group. So it's very easy to join. We welcome everybody.
I believe there's actually a membership form on the website. So nativeplantsociety.org.
You guys have gardens at home? I'm guessing you both do. I'm guessing.
I do.
Yeah.
Yeah, I do. And I have to admit, I live in an area where much of the gardening is done to make us all look uniform in the Dover area. Mm-hmm. So, but I look out and I have walked past some of the homes and they do have a lot of native plants. And I think that's in part to the efforts of this group.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I actually first became a member of the Native Plant Society in order to help me do the landscaping around my house.
Mm-hmm.
The Native Plant Society has a landscape committee, and if you are a member, you can ask them to come to your house, and they will look at the whole area and mm-hmm. give you a map of what and suggestions of what kind of plants will do well in what areas. I started landscaping in 2016. And it's an ongoing project. I live on a hill. And while I wasn't so concerned about the plants right around the house, I wanted to expand out toward the hill with natives so that they would be require less maintenance. Once established, they would need less water. They would pretty much take care of themselves just like they do in the wild. And mm-hmm. I could prune them up and make them look prettier if I want to, but they're sort of self-sustaining. So it's an ongoing project, and it's been really fun.
Well, you know, when you stop and think, you know, native plants, they got along well without us for a number of years, and who doesn't want a garden that you don't have to go out there 24/7 and, you know, that's brilliant, you know, just put down native plants, and once they get established, your work is done. Nature will take care of it.
Well, almost done.
Oh.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. Oh,
well, there's the ground squirrels, of course, we know that. Well, in closing, let's talk one more time, remind people about February 16th, an important fundraiser at IPA on Cedar Street.
Right. Come by. Actually, anytime from the 13th to the 16th, you'll see the raffle baskets and you can purchase tickets to the raffle baskets. But if you come on the 16th, raise a glass. There will be money going to the Native Plant Society, and we're going to use it to update and expand our labeling of plants in the Arboretum, which will make it much more fun when you go to the Arboretum to know what you're actually looking at.
Cool.
Excellent. And one more time on the grant. The last date to apply is February 28th. You can get your application at www.nativeplantsociety.org. And then once you fill out your application for the grant, up to $500, you mail it to KNPS, Post Office Box 1092, Sandpoint. I'm guessing once you have the application, the mail-in address is on it.
Yes.
Janice, Robin, we'll have you on again.
Thank you. This has been great. We look forward to, we all enjoy sharing the information about our wonderful area and the wonderful plants that grow here.
Absolutely, absolutely. But and I did check, River of No Return is a 1954. it has been labeled the worst Marilyn Monroe movie ever.
Oh.
By critics.
Well, that's too bad.
You know, second only to There's No Business Like Show Business, which is a whole nother story. As we exit with Janice and Robin, I've got a song queued up. Back on this date in 1970, the Grateful Dead were busted for drugs in New Orleans. Mm-hmm. And supposedly that was the seedbed for this well-known Grateful Dead song that we're going to play here. And for all you deadheads tuning in, Well, that ties in because you deadhead plants, don't you?
Yes, you certainly do.
You made a good connection.
Hey, so a segue in. Here is a song that came out of supposedly came out of the dead being arrested in New Orleans for illegal possession of certain substances.